Today is Thursday, May 8th, and this is the World Socialist Website. "80 years since the end of World War II in Europe," a statement of the WSWS editorial board. The commemorations marking the 80th anniversary of the end of World War II in Europe are taking place amidst the resurgence of global war and fascism. When the commanders-in-chief of the German armed forces ratified the surrender in Berlin on the night of May 8th and 9th, 1945, the city lay in ruins. The German army had been decisively defeated. In the rubble, Allied soldiers uncovered evidence of the Nazis' monstrous crimes against humanity. Just days earlier, soldiers of the Red Army had liberated the Sachsenhausen concentration camp near Berlin and the Berlin Plötzensee prison, where thousands of resistance fighters had been executed. The scenes they encountered were of unimaginable horror. Between 70 and 85 million people perished in the Second World War, including up to 55 million civilians. The Nazis' war of extermination claimed the lives of 27 million Soviet citizens, and 6 million Jews were systematically murdered in the Holocaust. The war as a whole came to an end 4 months later, with Japan's surrender following the atomic bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki by American imperialism. The anniversary of VE Day, Victory in Europe Day, is being commemorated under conditions of escalating global conflict. The world is not merely on the brink of world war. The initial stages have already begun. Current zones of conflict and flashpoints stretch from Europe to the Middle East and Asia, and even extend into the Arctic and outer space. In Ukraine, the United States and European powers are waging the largest land war in Europe since World War II, aimed at weakening and dismembering Russia. Now, in its third year, the conflict has already killed or wounded over 1 million people. With Trump's return to power, the European powers are openly debating the direct deployment of ground troops into Ukraine, a move that threatens to escalate the proxy war into a full-scale European conflagration. In recent days, military clashes between India and Pakistan have sharply escalated, with Indian forces carrying out strikes on targets in Kashmir and deep inside Pakistan on Wednesday. These developments threaten to trigger a full-scale war between the two nuclear-armed states, with potentially catastrophic consequences for the region and the world. Behind the escalating conflict in South Asia lies the broader military buildup by U.S. imperialism against China, with Taiwan as the central flashpoint. Joint military exercises with Japan, South Korea, and the Philippines, combined with expanded arms shipments to Taipei, are part of Washington's strategy to encircle China militarily. The United States has increasingly threatened war with China over Taiwan, not as a possibility, but as an inevitability. James Stavridis, former NATO Supreme Allied Commander, recently warned, quote, "I never felt we were as close to an actual shooting war with Beijing as we are today," unquote. The fascistic Trump administration, which has declared a global trade war on China as a central pillar of its agenda, is actively preparing for a hot war with the world's most populous country. China's gross domestic product has already surpassed that of the United States when measured by purchasing power parity, intensifying the strategic fears of the American ruling class. Trump's plan to annex Canada, Greenland, the Panama Canal, and Gaza as American territories must be understood within this context. These regions encompass strategic global trade choke points: the Panama Canal, the Red Sea, and Gulf of Hormuz, and the Northern Sea Route, and their seizure is part of a broader strategy to enforce American imperialist hegemony. 80 years after the exposure of the Nazi regime's crimes, the most horrific atrocities associated with fascism are being normalized once again. This is clear, above all, in the Gaza genocide, which is part of an escalating war throughout the region. The imperialist powers, having pledged to forge a new Middle East under their domination, are not only complicit in, but are overseeing, the genocidal campaign by the Israeli state against the Palestinian people. According to official figures, more than 50,000 Palestinians have been killed since October 7, 2023, although the true death toll is likely nearing 100,000. Gaza has been systematically starved, with no food, water, or fuel allowed to enter for over 2 months. At least 10,000 people are suffering from acute malnutrition. Israeli TV producer Elad Barashi, associated with a right-wing broadcaster close to Netanyahu, called recently for the introduction of gas chambers and deportation trains in Gaza. Quote, "Men, women, and children, by any means necessary, we must simply carry out a Shoah or Holocaust against them." Unquote. Such calls for mass murder reveal openly the logic of the genocide itself. The escalating global war is being spearheaded by American imperialism, now under the direction of Trump, but every imperialist power is rapidly rearming. Global military spending surged to $2.7 trillion last year, the highest level ever recorded since figures began in 1988. Among the largest percentage increases in military spending came from Germany and Japan. Germany's military expenditure surged to $88.5 billion in 2024, making it the fourth largest in the world and the highest in Europe. This is a 28% increase from 2023 and an 89% increase since 2015. The new German government, supported by all parties in parliament, is led by Friedrich Merz, who collaborated with the fascist Alternative for Germany, or AfD, before the elections. It is now preparing to drive military spending to astronomical heights. A 500 billion euro special fund has been earmarked to make Germany's infrastructure fit for war. Japan increased its military spending by 21% in 2024, allocating its highest share of national expenditure to the military since 1958. The feverish rearmament by the imperialist powers is being carried out under the banner of national defense. But behind the slogan lie the brutal interests of capitalist ruling classes confronting irreconcilable contradictions. On the eve of World War II, the great revolutionary Leon Trotsky explained in War in the Fourth International, quoting, "The same causes, inseparable from modern capitalism, that brought about the last imperialist war have now reached infinitely greater tension than in the middle of 1914. The fear of the consequences of a new war is the only factor that fetters the will of imperialism. But the efficacy of this break is limited. The stress of inner contradictions pushes one country after another on the road to fascism, which, in its turn, cannot maintain power except by preparing international explosions. All governments fear war, but none of the governments has any freedom of choice. Without a proletarian revolution, a new world war is inevitable." End quote. The contradictions of capitalism that gave rise to the Second World War were not resolved by the defeat of Nazi Germany. Though the post-war dominance of American imperialism temporarily suppressed direct conflict between the great powers, this unstable equilibrium began to unravel in the 1970s. When large parts of the globe became accessible once again to capital with the dissolution of the Soviet Union, the old conflicts came to a head and have now assumed a new quality. These are the same contradictions that led to the two world wars. As WSWS International Editorial Board Chairman David North explained in his contribution to this year's May Day rally, quote, "The essential causes of the descent into political barbarism and catastrophic global warfare are the same economic and social contradictions of the capitalist regime that resulted in war and fascism in the last century. These interrelated contradictions are, first, the incompatibility of the world economy with the capitalist nation-state system, and second, the socially destructive character of capitalist private ownership of the productive forces, controlled by money-mad oligarchs, and social production involving the labor of the billions of people that comprise the international working class, unquote. Only the international working class, which creates all social wealth and has to bear the entire burden of war and crisis, is capable of preventing a new catastrophe. Workers must counterpose the international unity of the working class to the growth of nationalism, war, and trade war, which are also supported and promoted by the apparatus of the trade unions. They must reject the repulsive exploitation of the commemorations for the revival of militarism and the vile falsifications of history, and develop their own commemoration of the horrors of world war. It is capitalism that leads to barbarism, and only its overthrow by a mass movement of the working class for a world socialist republic can prevent this. That is why building the Socialist Equality Party and the International Committee of the Fourth International is the most urgent task. Just as Trotsky warned of the Second World War on the basis of his Marxist understanding of the world situation, the ICFI is sounding the alarm today, and the warning remains the same. Without a proletarian revolution, a new war is inevitable. Fed warns economic risks rising because of tariff hikes, by Nick Beams. As expected, the U.S. Federal Reserve kept interest rates on hold at its meeting yesterday, but expressed concern that the tariff hikes of the Trump administration will lead to both higher inflation and rising unemployment. In his prepared remarks to a press conference, Fed Chair Jerome Powell said, quote, "If the large increases in tariffs that have been announced are sustained, they are likely to generate a rise in inflation, a slowdown in economic growth, and an increase in unemployment," unquote. Powell said that while the, quote, "risks of higher unemployment and higher inflation appear to have risen," unquote, the current stance of monetary policy left the bank, quote, "well positioned to respond in a timely way to potential economic developments," unquote. These words of reassurance were somewhat undermined by other parts of his opening remarks. The Fed, at least officially, operates under a dual mandate to ensure price stability and maximum employment. But as Powell acknowledged, quote, "we may find ourselves in the challenging scenario in which our dual mandate goals are in tension," unquote. That is, both prices and unemployment are on the rise. In response to a question, Powell said the U.S. was still a, quote, "healthy economy," but was shrouded in some very downbeat sentiment. He noted in his opening remarks that surveys of households had reported a, quote, "sharp decline in sentiment and elevated uncertainty about the economic outlook," unquote, but it remained to be seen how these developments would affect future spending and investment. As yet, he said on numerous occasions, the effects had not yet shown up in the data, and the Fed had to adopt a wait-and-see stance. Powell said, quote, "we think we're in the right place to wait and see how things evolve. We don't feel like we need to be in a hurry. We feel like it's appropriate to be patient," unquote. Elaborating on this theme throughout his press conference, Powell said, quote, "it's not a situation where we can be preemptive because we actually don't know what the right response to the data will be until we see more data." The criticism of this data-dependent stance, which has been made in the past and will no doubt be raised again, is that it is like driving by looking in the rearview mirror as data coming in reflects past developments, not what is underway at present. The present situation is that tariff hikes, which Powell acknowledged were, quote, "significantly larger than anticipated," unquote, have thrown investment planning and business decisions into disarray. Companies are already reporting significant declines in their expected revenue. Ford has said it expects to take a $1.5 billion hit, and Apple expects one of almost $1 billion. The supply chains of potentially thousands of companies have been thrown into chaos as firms face massive increases in their cost structure, with shipments at ports on the West Coast already showing a decline of as much as 30%, there have been warnings that empty shelves may well become a phenomenon, accompanied by sharp price rises. The Financial Times noted that while demand in the U.S. economy had broadly remained robust since the start of the year, quote, surveys have indicated that businesses and consumers are deeply concerned about how Trump's levies will affect their respective prospects. Guy Labas, a strategist at the financial services firm Janney Montgomery Scott, told the FT, quote, I can't recall a time when the Fed has upgraded both growth and inflation risk quite so starkly, unquote. As far as the data are concerned, the GDP figures for the first quarter showed an annual contraction in the U.S. economy of 0.3%. This has largely been dismissed as a kind of statistical anomaly because of the surge in imports as firms tried to stock up in anticipation of tariff hikes. This view was countered in an opinion piece in the Wall Street Journal, which warned that the U.S. GDP decline was an ominous sign. It took issue with the statement by the Bureau of Economic Analysis, which said the decline in GDP primarily reflected an increase in imports, quote, which are a subtraction in the calculation of GDP. The two authors said the decline was not a statistical artifact. The GDP number was down because, quote, America produced less, not because it imported more, unquote. The decline in GDP appeared to have been, quote, largely the product of the massive uncertainty that the Trump administration's trade policy has created, as it wreaked havoc on supply chains and global commerce. Since most of the tariffs have yet to go into effect, the negative growth for the first quarter is simply a warning of much worse to come if the administration doesn't call off its trade war, unquote. If the tariffs proceeded, the likelihood was that, quote, the U.S. and most of the world will fall into recession in 2025, unquote. Wall Street was up slightly in the wake of the Fed decision, but this was mostly because of the announcement that trade talks will be held between leading U.S. and Chinese officials in Geneva over the weekend. It lost some momentum in response to the Fed's assessment that the risks of higher inflation and increased unemployment had risen. If the discussions between Trump and incoming Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney earlier this week are anything to go by, little movement on the 145% tariff on China can be expected. When asked if there was anything Carney could say to convince him to lift the tariffs against Canada, Trump replied no, insisting, quote, there is no reason for us to be subsidizing Canada, unquote. This has been Paul Fuller for the World Socialist Website.
The World Socialist Website is published by the International Committee of the Fourth International, the ICFI, the leadership of the World Socialist Movement, the Fourth International founded by Leon Trotsky in 1938. The World Socialist Website relies entirely on the donations of readers and listeners for financial support. To give to the WSWS or to set up a regular monthly contribution, go to wsws.org/donate. We urge our listeners to join the International Committee of the Fourth International and one of its affiliated political parties and take up the struggle for socialism.